And a third angel followed.
And a third angel followed them, saying in a great voice,
"Anyone who worships the beast and his image, anyone who worships the beast and his image, thus receiving the mark, he will drink from the wine of God's fury. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep God's commandments and the faith of Jesus." Many people are concerned about our apocalyptic times. What's going to happen in the days to come, in the difficult days that we live in? How are we going to hold on? What is the formula that's going to help us to hold on? And right here, St. John the Divine let us know in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, 9. Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep God's commandments and the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's hold on to this verse very, very closely. Patience, the commandments of God, and faith in Jesus Christ. This is the triple element that we'll need to cement our faith in the days to come. We will need patience to overcome the afflictions. St. James says, "Do not be surprised, my friends, because you are having all kinds of temptations. The temptations, ipirasmi, they are the proof that we are following the true gospel." We must learn and understand this very clearly, that without suffering, without sharing in the sufferings of Christ, there is no resurrection. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. There is no easy salvation, as the Protestants want to tell us. All you have to do is have faith in Jesus, faith in Christ, and you're saved. You don't need anything else. That's not true. It is not biblical. The Bible says, patience, believing in the commandments and following the commandments of Christ, and faith in Jesus. Faith in Christ. Not just faith in the human nature of Christ. It is not enough. Not faith in the divine nature of Christ. This is not enough. Faith in the God-human nature of Christ. Patience is a priceless asset for Christians, for all people, but especially Christians. And patience is the ground floor to all virtues. St. Isaac the Syrian, in his 46th homily, says, "During difficult times, patience is given according to the level of our humility." Patience and humility go hand in hand. Υπομονή και ταπείνωση. They go together. Patience and humility are gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. With patience, we will win our souls and the souls of the people around us. We need to be more patient with each other. We need to be more patient in our congregations, with our husbands, our wives. Egotism kills. Egotism kills families. Probably the number one cause of divorce is egotism, the lack of humility, wanting our own will. Patience is a great virtue. In reading the book of Father Nicholas Planas, who, by the way, is a saint now, a saint of our church, St. Nicholas Planas, who's a very humble priest outside of Athens, and many, many of our holy fathers used to go there for the all-night vigils. Father Philotheos Zervakos was a very young man at the time, and he used to visit Father Planas, who had an extreme level of humility. Some other priests used to take his rasa, the new ones, and exchange, giving him the old ones. He never said a thing. Father Nicholas Planas had a chanter, Alekos. And Alekos had a little bit of a drinking problem. He used to go drink, and he would start to chant with Krasokatanixi. And Father Philotheos, and some of the other members of that little church, St. Eliseus, they just said, Father, get rid of him. Get rid of him. He's going to ridicule us. No. Kaloso Alekos. Let him go. Kaloso Alekos. Well, Aleko used to go in the altar, Father. He used to go in the altar, and during divine liturgy, he used to put his hands in the pockets of Father Nicholas Planas, extracting all the money out during divine liturgy. And he used to say, Aleko, siga, matlepio kosmos. Take the money, but don't make noise. And this went on for weeks and months and years. And everybody was saying, get rid of him. No, Father Planas said, Aleko is good. Let him go. Let him go. One of these situations, Aleko took all his money. And poor Father Nicholas Planas, he took an amaxa, a carriage, to go somewhere. And when he got there, he didn't have any money to pay the carriage driver, and he became irate, called him all kinds of names, took his rasso, and let him go. He took his rasso. And he started walking. Well, a few minutes later, this amaksa ran back, fell on his knees, gave him back his rasso, and who knows what angel he saw. He gave it right back. But this was Aleko. And Aleko did this over the years. And at his death, at death that he repented. He repented. He stayed in the church and he went to paradise because of the humility and the love of Father Nicholas Planas. We read in the Gerontico about Saint Serapion. He used to make paneria or baskets, the ergogero. And he was going to town to sell them once a week to buy bread for a couple weeks. And when he got a little bit outside of town, he found a crippled person, an older person, and he told him, Father, would you be kind enough to take me on your back and take me to the agora, to the marketplace? I can't get there by myself. Puts him on his back, takes him there. The older person sits down and is waiting to see how business would go. He sells the first panieri, the first basket. And the older person goes, oh, Father Serapion, I haven't had anything to eat for a few days. You just sold something. Can you buy me a pita or a piece of bread to eat? He uses all his money and he buys him one. Can you buy me a second one? Can you buy me something else? Needless to say, he wasted all the money of Saint Serapion. And after all this, he tells him, now, would you be kind enough to put me on your back again and take me back to the place where you found me? Yes, I will. Puts him on his back, takes him there, lets him down, and tries to say goodbye to him. And next thing you know, this person disappeared. It was an angel of God and says, holy are you, Serapion, because your humility is that of the angels, or something to that effect. You see, this is orthodoxy. These are the examples of orthodoxy. This is the treasure of orthodoxy that we will not find anywhere else, nowhere else, only in our faith. But all these things can happen by obeying the commandments of God. Today, we lose our patience. We lose our patience in our congregations. I don't know about here in Canada,
But in the United States, we have major problems between English and Greek. In our general council meetings, a big problem. Why Greek and why English? A lot of people say, well, I can't really go to liturgy when it's in Greek because I lose interest. I don't understand anything. And vice versa. We do not have a language problem. We have a spiritual problem. We have a spiritual problem. If we only knew what takes place in a divine liturgy. See, we're trying to understand everything with our intellect. The mysterion, the mystery that takes on, takes place in the divine liturgy cannot be grasped by our mind and by our understanding alone. The mystery of the angels and God the Word, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the bloodless sacrifice, all this is awesome. It transcends some of the understanding that we have. Good thing this wasn't the case. When the Russian envoys reached Constantinople, they didn't speak a word of Greek. They enter the church of Hagia Sophia. They didn't understand a word that they heard. Nothing. They went inside and they observed the mystery. They observed the incense, the smell, the evodia, the chanting, our Byzantine chanting, the catanixi. And they wrote back to the Tsar and they said, we visited West, we went to the Catholics, we went to the Muslims. Nothing like what we saw in Constantinople. We didn't know if we were on heaven or on earth. This is the true faith, and this is what we're going to bring back. They didn't understand a word of what they were hearing, but they felt it all in their heart because they had the Holy Spirit touch them. If we have the Holy Spirit, a language will not separate us. Nothing will separate us. Today, we lose heart very easily. We go to church, and we don't have patience. We start looking at our watches. Don't wear your watch at church. It becomes a temptation. Let it at home. Start watching our watches. It's no problem watching a football game for 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours. And we have people that will go hunting and stay on a tree for 14 hours to kill a helpless deer, an animal. But when we go to church, we have our watch on, and it's half an hour. Boy, the preacher's taking too long. St. John the Chrysostom used to take about an hour and a half or 2 hours in his sermon. But not today. The priest is taking too long, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We go downstairs to have a cigarette. That's what happens. We have a spiritual problem. We have a spiritual problem. We should be crying instead of laughing. But that's the case. That is the case. Once we truly grasp the mystery of godliness, the mystery of godliness, the mysterion that takes place in Orthodoxy, then most of these problems that we have every day, they're going to go away. They're going to go away. In the last days, and again, we don't know when. We are beginning to live in the last days. As we mentioned last night, we have a lot of signs, great deal of signs. But we have no idea how long this world is going to last. We know that history, as we know it, is going to end. There's no question about that. But in the last days, we will need great patience. We will need to hold on to God's commandments and the faith in Jesus, faith in the commandments of God, patience, the commandments, and the faith of Christ, the faith of Christ. We need to hold on to all the commandments, not just a few. We are very eclectic in our spirituality. We pick and choose. We call it pick and choose theology. I like this one, but not that one. I like this commandment, but not that one. And we choose. And this is what makes us secular Christians. We don't have the power,
Because we disobey God's commandments. God's commandments are like gold. Like gold. It's pure gold. It's heavenly gold. We were talking yesterday about the spiritual will of Tobit, the advice of a father to a son. And as I told the young people, please take these and put them in your rooms as posters to look at it now and then. Great advice, because without the commandments of God, we will never purify our heart. We will never purify our heart. We need the commandments of God to cleanse our heart. Because when we follow the commandments, we do not sin. You see, we don't sin as much. Some of the commandments we know, and we think that they used to be for those times, Don Quiero Aquino, like the commandment of fasting. Fasting is extremely important. Extremely important. It was one of the first commandments of God to humankind. In paradise, God gave the Prototlasti, Adam and Eve, several commandments. Number one, watch the garden. Watch the garden. Number two, work the garden. And number three, do not eat from the banana tree. The apple, right? Okay, the Bible doesn't say anything about an apple or the type of tree that it was. It was simply a fruit. And the Bible doesn't say what it was. By the way, why would they watch the garden? From what? There was no evil. There was no death. There were no weeds. Because all these things took place after the fall. There were no mosquitoes or birds. Everything lived in pure, perfect harmony. Our church fathers say that watch themselves. Watch their soul. Watch their thoughts. And that's where we get the commandment of fasting. Do not eat from this fruit. There were hundreds and hundreds of different fruits in paradise, but we disobeyed this commandment. And we can say, boy, what a mistake Eve made. We still make the same mistake today, constantly, as young people. We repeat that same mistake. Because when Eve disobeyed this commandment, she lost the blessing of God. When we disobey the commandments, we lose the blessing of God. Tobit told his son, beware, my son, of all forms of fornication. Because when you do that, you will lose the blessing of God. And sometimes we don't get a lot of results because we do not know how to explain these things to our young people. We need to really specify a little bit of theology to our young people. We say, well, don't do that because it's not good. And a young person will say, why isn't it good? It's good. Everybody says it's good. Well, don't do it because we're Greeks. That's not enough. That's not going to do it. Well, don't mathematiki or theologiki themelioci. Theologiki themelioci. My son or my daughter, if you commit the sin, when you commit the sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you commit the sin, some kind of an ineradicable mark goes on your body. And when you have this sin, it is impossible for you to enter the kingdom of God without confession. Without holy confession, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. St. Paul says it. He says that people
the immoral, the homosexuals, they will not see the kingdom of God. So simple as that. It's a very serious sin. And this is the explanation that we need to have. And we love you so much that we want to have you with us in paradise. Please be very careful. We need to pay attention to God's commandments. Fasting. Fasting is one of the elementary commandments which will open the door to all the other virtues. It will strengthen your willpower from a little child. Even from 2, 3, 4 years old, let the children fast. Let them fast. Do not be afraid. They're not going to get sick unless you have a problem, a medical problem, and then you cannot fast. Our church does not want to kill the body, wants to purify the body, make the body wholesome. When the child learns to say no to hamburgers, say no to ice cream, say no to pizza, say no to cheesesteaks on Wednesday and Friday, from the time they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, then they will have the strength to say no to drugs, no to cigarettes, no to premarital sex, because they have their willpower strengthened through this elementary virtue of fasting. Fasting is extremely important. Extremely important. Νηστεία αγρυπνία προσευχή, ουράνια χαρίσματα λαβών. One of the commandments. Do not worry. It's a commandment from God. Jesus Christ says, do not worry about what you will eat or drink or you will wear. I think we're all very guilty of this. We worry sick today. We worry sick today because we have followed the lifestyle. The lifestyle, we have become into this lifestyle that makes us work a job and a half, a full-time job and a part-time job to be able to keep up with all those different things that we are accustomed to. And we worry constantly. If we have faith in the providence of God, then we need not worry. And worrying is disobeying Christ's commandments. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has plenty of problems in itself. People today are depressed. They lose patience. People today lose patience in the face of disease. We hear of euthanasia today. People don't know where to turn. People are miserable today, and they give their souls over to Satan, because that's exactly what euthanasia is. It's suicide. One of the commandments of God is, do not get drunk with wine. And Tobit says the same thing to his son. Do not drink wine to excess, or let drunkenness go with you on your way. Isaiah says, woe to you who wake up in the morning and run after sikira. Sikira is anything but wine, all the other type of alcohol, includes ouzo as well. And unfortunately, a person that wastes their body with alcohol or tobacco or drugs, a person like this destroys the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God will destroy him. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Another one of the commandments is, do not work on Sundays. Keep the day of the Sabbath holy. It's a commandment of God, but we ignore that. A lot of us ignore that. All these different commandments will help us, a great deal to clean our heart. We need to become pure
because then we will be able to see God. One of the Makarizdim. Blessed are the pure at heart, because they will see God. So keeping of the commandments cleanses the heart. The faith in Jesus Christ sparks the love of the heart. And Christ says, who is he who loves me? Who? The one who believes in me? No. Who is he that loves me? The one who keeps my commandments. The one who keeps my commandments. Well, not they. Many people will tell me, Lord, Lord, didn't we teach about you? Didn't you perform miracles? I don't know you. Why? Because you didn't take the time to purify your heart. Maybe you performed miracles, but that wasn't your doing. Purifying our heart is much higher than performing miracles. Judas performed miracles. He expelled demons. He had the same gifts as the rest of the apostles. He was not slighted at all, Judas. But his heart was in the wrong place. His heart was in the wrong place. He was not seeking the Uranio Basilia. He was seeking this Basilia, this kingdom. St. Paul says, faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, love. Faith leads to hope, and hope leads to love. Cleansing of the heart and faith in Jesus Christ creates the miracle of patience. The miracle of patience. And if you're wondering, what made the martyrs hold on? St. Catherine, St. Ekaterina, St. Polycarp. What made them hold on? What gave them this joy? Even through martyrdom, it was the cleansing of their heart. The Holy Spirit visiting their clean heart. And faith and the cleansing of the heart creates this miracle of patient endurance that's necessary for martyrdom. The wonderful story of the 40 martyrs of Sebastia. What happened to the one martyr? He lost heart at the very end. He lost his patience. He lost his patience. And he left. He betrayed Christ at the final minute, losing his body and his soul, because he died instantly when he went to the fires towards the Romans. We have to be very careful, because the devil waits till the last minute. One of the young ones wasn't dead as of yet. When they saw the other ones were dead and they were taken to throw their bodies in the lake or burn their bodies. But one wasn't dead as of yet, and they were trying to revive him and make him to deny Christ, and his own mother grabbed his body and started running towards the other martyrs. What gave that mother that strength, that patient endurance? The love of Christ, the patience, the love, and the faith in Christ Jesus. Also, in the martyrdom of Saint Nikephoros, we have a very sad event as well. This priest named Sapritios is a very virtuous person, and Nikephoros was his friend. But they had a disagreement, some kind of an argument, and Sapritios, for some reason, did not want to forgive him. He would not speak to him. And a little while after that, Sapritios was apprehended, and he was being led to martyrdom. Nikephoros was behind him begging him, please forgive me. You're ready to die. You're going to lose your life. Forgive me. No, I will not. When the Romans were ready to behead him, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God was lifted off him. He lost the grace totally. And Sapritio says, what am I doing here? Well, you're here because you're a Christian, and we're going to execute you because you will not deny Christ. That's all I have to do, deny Christ? No problem. Deny Christ and walked away. And Saint Nikephoros says, I'm a Christian, I'm ready to take his place. And he took his place.